Good afternoon, everybody. This is Credo on Radio Maria, and we're delighted to be joined in person by Father Antonio Maria Diaz de Medina, CFR. Have I got your name right there, Father Antonio?
Yes.
Great. So Father Antonio is a Franciscan friar of the Renewal. He is currently based at St. Columba Friary in Derry in Northern Ireland. And he is behind the Ephatha Revival 2024, which if you've been listening to Radio Maria recently, you will have definitely heard about. And we'll be more about that later in the programme. But Father Antonio is here to talk about adoration and the festal shout, his programme is called today. But Father Antonio, perhaps first you'd like to introduce yourself a little bit more. You have been on the radio before. You spoke quite a long time back on Diving Deeper, also actually on the topic of adoration, and you've been on Mornings with Radio Maria. But if someone is hearing you for the first time, would you just like to introduce yourself and perhaps the Franciscan friars as well?
Yeah, certainly. Thank you, Elizabeth, and greetings, everybody. Shout out there on the radio. My name is Father Antonio. I've only been in Derry for about 5 months. Prior to that, I was living over in London for 2.5 years. And prior to that, I was a chaplain during the first wave of COVID there in New York. And then for 4 years prior to that, I was the working at St. Mary the Assumption Friary. So I was ordained in 2016, a member of the Franciscan Friaries of the Renewal since 2003, have lived in Honduras, Nicaragua, which is another country in Central America. Our friars started in New York City. Our founders were Capuchins, and then they, in God's providence and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, started a new community in 1987. So some of the listeners might be familiar with Father Benedict Groeschel or Father Andrew Possley, both now deceased, but they were on EWTN, and so they're very well known. And they were two of our leaders, particularly Father Benedict Groeschel was the main leader for this new community of which I'm a part of, working with the poor, evangelization. So it's good to be here with you on this radio program.
Thank you, Father Antonio. So perhaps you'd like to begin your teaching with a prayer.
Yes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Lord Jesus, shine the light of your face upon us, your holy face, your Eucharistic face, and help us to discover our true faces. Give us our true identities, our true faces, as we spend time with you, Lord, in adoration and in your word, that you may sanctify us and grant us the grace to hear what you wish us to hear during this radio program. We ask intercession of Mother Mary, Saint Joseph, and all the angels and saints, and also the souls in purgatory. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so yes, I then regarding the festal shout, really that is in the Ephatha Revival prayer, which some may be familiar with for the Ephatha Revival Eucharistic Adoration. But it comes from Psalm 89. So for you good Catholics, you have your Bible with you, or you can look it up online. But Psalm 89, verse 15 through 17. And so I want to unpack that for us. I have the Revised Standard Version, Catholic edition. I don't know what edition you all have, but you can look it up online. And this is what we read. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance, who exalt in thy name all the day and extol thy righteousness, for thou art the glory of their strength. I also want to connect that with another psalm, which is Psalm 84, verse 5. Blessed are the men whose strength is in thee, and whose hearts are the highways to Zion. So I got really excited when Elizabeth and Radio Maria suggested to me to speak on how to shout and how to carry the festal shout in your heart. So if you can imagine your own heart, what is your heart like? If we can stretch it in terms of symbolism, if you had an animal heart, what kind of heart would you have? Would you have a lion's heart? Would you have a chihuahua's heart? Would you have some other animal, maybe something big or something small? I don't know. But I've emphasized the heart because the heart is the place of decision. If you read in Catechism number 2563, the heart is a dwelling place where I am, where I live. According to the Semitic or biblical expression, the heart is a place to which I withdraw. The heart is our hidden center beyond the grasp of our reason and of others. Only the Spirit of God can fathom the human heart and know it fully. The heart is a place of decision, deeper than our psychic drives. It is a place of truth, where we choose life or death. It is a place of encounter, because as image of God, we live in relation. It is the place of covenant. So this is from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, again, number 2563. What is your heart like? What is mine like? My encouragement during this Lent is really that we continue with the Church and with our Lord in this Lenten journey. That's why making in Psalm 84, blessed are the men or women or children in whose heart are the highways to Zion, that in your heart and in mine, we've decided to make a pilgrimage. And so then part of that then is walking with the Lord and discovering that festal shout. I would offer three things for our listeners regarding how to know how to shout and to carry that festal shout in your heart. Again, to have an open heart. But the three things are humility, trust, and ask for your true voice. So humility is essential. If you think you're humble, then you're really not, right? So sometimes I do that in a crowd with youth. Okay, raise your hand if you're the most humble. And then, you know, most people know not to raise their hand, but there might be one or two who will. And then humility makes me think of, actually, as I was preparing for this talk, Elizabeth, Mother Angelica was somebody who came to mind a number of times. She's an inspiration for me. And one of the things that she said is, be willing to do the ridiculous and God will do the miraculous. And so that's an attitude of humility. And then if I give me talks and I mention that quote, and then I'll ask somebody, okay, can I get a volunteer? And then most of the people are quiet. They don't want to volunteer, you know, because they think I'm going to call them out. But humility then, if I'm humble, I'm able then, and I'm willing, because humility is a couple of quotes then from St. Francis, what a man is before God, that he is and nothing more. And then also from Pastor Rick Warren, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking about yourself less. And so humility gives me an attitude adjustment in order to discover that festal shout in one's heart. The other thing is trust. A mystical priest, he's since passed away, whose name escapes me at the moment. He promoted divine mercy. The acronym for trust was total reliance upon saving truth. So do you trust God? And are you willing to hear his voice? Are you willing to allow him to place the festal shout within your heart? Humility and trust in your heavenly Father, who is in fact worthy of your trust, with the Son and with the Holy Spirit, spending time with Jesus. So humility, trust, and the other thing for discovering that festal shout is you have to ask for it. So ask for your true voice. I don't know about y'all who are listening or watching. As Catholics, we tend to be pretty shy, right? So if I ask a Catholic, can we say a prayer? And especially if I ask them to lead it, they get very uncomfortable. And if they lead it out loud, they'll usually say an Our Father, Hail Mary, which is good. But, you know, to pray from the heart as well. So again, I asked at the beginning, what kind of heart do you have? And so when you're living in that relationship with the Lord, when you have that festal shout within you, a festal shout of praise, later I'll talk about how to dance to God's music, which was the other question Elizabeth asked of me, and which is in the Ephatha Revival Prayer. But part of that is knowing the goodness of who God is and of who I am. And then we become joyful when we're with the Lord. So we can get excited about, you know, your favorite team winning, whatever it is, or maybe you win the lottery or whatever, but what about being excited for the things of God? And so when we spend time with the Lord, then he starts to change us. He gives us our true voice, our true face, especially if I'm in a position of humility and of trust unto him and of surrender. Yes, so Again, I'm going to read again. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord. So making that decision to walk with the Lord, sometimes it means something dynamic where you and I are willing to change, allowing him to change our hearts. Who walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance, of thy face. And so the good Lord, then, when we spend time with him in adoration, in his Eucharistic face, he gives us our true faces and he changes us, he sanctifies us, and he places his festal shout within us. So we're not called to be timid or cowardly. We're called to have lion's hearts. And having our true voice then means that we speak up in truth and in charity when that is needed. And so that also means having courage. So if I don't trust in God, then I'm not on a firm foundation. In Sirach chapter 2, verse 13, we read, "Woe to the faint of heart, for it has no trust, therefore it will not be sheltered." So don't have a faint heart, but trust in the Lord and in his promises and be sheltered in him and in his word and carry that festal shout within you. Should I continue? Is there going to be...
Let's take a little music break. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. This is Heal Our Land from Maverick City.
In a world where we're losing hope and life has us on the ropes, misunderstandings, hate running rampant, every man out for his own. Seems like we've lost our way, and the distance grows every day.
We need you, Lord. That's from Heal Our Land from Maverick City here on Radio Maria. It's Credo with Father Antonio Maria Diaz de Medina, teaching us about how to carry the festal shout in our hearts. Thank you, Father Antonio, and back over to you.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. One thing I want to do now is to start off just a little meditation thing. It's very quick, but this is something that I learned during my university days that somebody on a retreat led us in, and it's from Scripture. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. The reason I mention that is not just to help kind of recenter, refocus, but because the reality of being, of existence, is part of God's music. What do I mean by that? St. Francis of Assisi, he spoke of brother, sun, sister, moon. He preached to the birds. He talked to the water. All of creation sang to him of God in its own way. Because of its very existence, there's something good about it. And so he himself also discovered his own goodness because he discovered the goodness of his Abba Father. His earthly father rejected him, but he discovered his heavenly Father through Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit. And so that's why a relationship with God is so important. So earlier I was talking about the festal shout in our hearts and how to carry that with humility, with trust, to ask our Heavenly Father, please give me that festal shout. That I am one who has made a decision to make that pilgrimage of faith during this Lent, who's willing to walk with you, Abba, wherever you lead me. Give me your festal shout in my heart that I may be ready to shout your praises. One last thing to mention with that is that it makes me think of the saints, that they're a kingdom people, but they're already living a kingdom lifestyle here on earth. And so they have that festal shout. They're fully alive in the Lord. And then the curious thing is that if you read in Scripture in 2 Samuel 6, and this connects with the dancing, verse 14 through 22, David, King David, was dancing before the ark of the Lord with all his might. And he was girded with a linen ephod, which is like a priestly garment. And so he was dancing before the Lord with abandon, even though he looked foolish. He didn't care. Elsewhere, there's an example, I forgot where it was in the Scripture, in Old Testament, that God instructs them to send out the singers and the dancers into battle before everyone else, which sounds ridiculous, but in praising the Lord, there's a change in the spiritual atmosphere. So when you and I learn then to praise God with a festal shout within our hearts, when we learn to dance before the Lord, admittedly, there's not a lot of examples of dancing in the scripture, but when we talk about dancing to God's music, the reality is that there is God's music, that God does have music, and there's also the devil's music. Another way to say it is that Jesus has a plan for your life, but the devil also has a plan. And sometimes we listen more to the devil and to his cacophony or bad music or bad sound rather than listening to God. And so going back to St. Francis, then the encounter that he had with creation and the encounter that changed him and his encounter with God is that he realized and he received from God the message, it is good that you exist. And so for anybody who's listening or watching, maybe you haven't received that unconditional love from another person, ultimately it's supposed to come from God, saying to you, it is good that you exist. Because when you realize the goodness of your being and you receive that gift yourself, you stop trying to affirm yourself, pseudo-affirmation. Or, for example, I can be affirmed for doing a good job in preaching or a good job in serving or whatever. Or maybe I did well on the field or I got a good grade or did well at work. Somebody can say, hey, great job. But what I need at a deeper level in my heart is to receive, to know that somebody appreciates me for who I am, not for what I've done. And so that deeper level of love then is something that comes from God. And there's a joy that comes in that, that makes us want to dance, that makes our heart come alive. And so this also is using psychological language. Dr. Conrad Bahrs, B-A-A-R-S, for those who are interested in learning more about this, because many of us have grown up without love, brothers and sisters. And so there's a lack of love in our lives. So it's hard then to hold a festal shout, to be joyful in the Lord. It's hard to dance to God's music when I don't feel fully alive. Maybe some of us feel like zombies, you know, or half our heart, or we don't even really possess ourselves. But the Lord then knows you, knows me. And he says, dry bones come to life, as it says in Ezekiel. And so the Lord then is saying that through you, to you, through me, to you, and through his Eucharistic presence, dry bones come to life. So if you feel like dry bones, come to life, says the Lord. Receive new life in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Receive the festal shout. Learn to hear my music. You are a part of my music. Learn to dance to my music. So just to go a little bit deeper with that, I know it's kind of deeper, right? But I mentioned Dr. Conrad Bahrs. So his daughter is also a psychiatrist. He's originally from Holland. He's passed away, deceased. Went to America, was a POW, but anyway, if barsinstitute.com, I believe is the website where you can learn some of his teachings, but he talks about affirmation and so on, and a lack of affirmation. But the language that's used in one of his books, I believe it's Born Only Once, is that he speaks of a psychological prison. And so let's say I'm in that prison. And the language is very specific. He says that if somebody comes along and they're moved by the goodness of my being, then I receive the gift of myself. And so say I go to an actual prison and I meet with a prisoner, and the prisoner, he notices or she notices that I see something good in him or her. Like I'm moved by their goodness, despite what they've done, that their life has value. And they're going to notice that. I'm not just talking at an emotional level. I'm talking at an existential level. But it has to be natural. If I, like, pretend, then it's not authentic. I have to allow myself to be moved by the goodness of this other. And then that person receives the gift of themselves because they realize it is good that I exist. And so abortion says to the unborn, it is not good that you exist. Euthanasia says that to the elderly, it is not good that you exist. Or to those who have whatever condition. And so that's why you and I then, because Ephatha Revival is about life, we're called to draw to the source of life, to the life giver who is God himself, and to be filled with new life, with divine life, with his festal shout, with his music, and then we become part of his music. And so John Paul II, JP II the Great, in Novo Milenio Innuente, which he wrote, I think, in 99, But he said that we should be so docile to the Spirit's touch that we vibrate at his touch, almost like a musical instrument. And I don't know about you, but it makes me think of a guitar, you know, or a stringed instrument. So what kind of musical instrument are you in the hands of the Holy Spirit? As you are given that festal shout, your true voice in humility and in trust, and as you learn to listen to God's music in the church and in creation, but also to become part of his music through your recreation in Jesus, then you also become part of his orchestra, his symphony of praise. So we then need to turn from the light to the truth. We need to turn from, and I'm not going to go into it too much, but there are some who have commented that some of the contemporary or popular pop music that's out there operates at a particular frequency that tends to elicit desires that are of the lower nature. That's why the type of music that you listen to will affect you, you know, garbage in, garbage out, and can tempt you not only by the words or by the lyrics, but also by the music itself. That's why it's good to listen to healthy music. For example, I'm charismatic, but I maybe because I was just at a monastery, Silver Stream Priory, and they have a lot of Gregorian chant and traditional Latin mass. There's something to be said about Gregorian chant, brothers and sisters. Not just that. There's classical music. There's good praise music and so on. But listen to healthy music that lifts you up rather than takes you down. And so that all relates then to where is your heart and where is mine and what do you love? So if you have that desire for the festal shout and you want to hear God's music and to dance his music, ask the Lord for that. With that idea of dancing, I mentioned King David dancing before the ark, doing something ridiculous. But the other thing is Mother Angelica, in one of her shows, I believe she did the Mexican hat dance. So if you can imagine this cloistered nun wearing a Mexican sombrero and doing some kind of Mexican hat dance, that's awesome that she's willing to be like that. So she was just really down to earth and was wonderful. And so she knew that she was his beloved. She knew who she was, and she knew the goodness of her existence. And so that's the invitation for you and for me. As we spend time with Jesus in adoration, we spend time in prayer, we allow him to change our hearts because we've decided to make that pilgrimage that I'm not going to remain comfortable. I'm willing to change. I'm willing to be set on fire. Going through the wilderness, I encounter God, but I also find myself.
Amen. Should we take a music break, Father Antonio?
Yeah, sounds good.
I'm afraid we haven't got any Gregorian chant up my sleeve, but I have got a song that you mentioned, Build Your Kingdom Here, from Rend Collective, and it's appropriate for what we'll be going on to talk about, which is the Ephatha Revival and building God's kingdom here on earth.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now.
Build your kingdom here. Change the atmosphere from Rend Collective. And we'll be talking more about adoration and the effect that it can indeed have on the atmosphere a little bit later. Back over to Father Antonio, and just to let you know that we've also been joined by Anya of the Cenacle Prayer Group in London, who will be speaking in a while. Thank you, Father Antonio.
Yes, thank you so much, Elizabeth, and hello again, everybody. I was talking about how the festal shout in people's hearts, how to carry that, and also dancing to God's music and hearing God's music and becoming part of his music. It would be remiss if I did not mention Our Lady Guadalupe. I don't know those who have their cameras, but I have a little image of Our Lady Guadalupe here. Not only is she the patroness of our community, the Franciscan Friars, the Renewal, but also a few things to note here is that she helped to promote life. And you can see this black sash, which symbolizes that she's pregnant. So we can honor the unborn child Jesus there in her womb. And we also, there's a devotion, we're meditating on being in her womb with baby Jesus. Another thing to note is that it looks like, I mean, you can see that she's not standing still. It's almost like she's ready to start moving. Some would comment that she's ready to start dancing. And so ask Our Lady Guadalupe to teach you how to dance to God's music as well, which she does. And so the invitation from our mama and St. Joseph, because the closing of Ephatha Revival will be on the Feast of St. Joseph. The invitation then for you, for me, for our families is to be fully alive in the Lord, to be open to his ways. And so there's many examples of that throughout history, particularly with Ephatha as the third time. I think Anya is going to be talking about a number of different things, including Poland and the wonderful things that have happened there. But rather than me introducing her, I'll leave that to Elizabeth.
So thank you so much, Father Antonio. And as I said, we're delighted to be joined by Anya. I won't attempt your surname. It's long and Polish. Anya is the leader of the Cenacle Prayer Group in London. She's been almost frequently on Mornings with Radio Maria, talking about different initiatives that have been happening in London. And she has spoken already with Father Antonio on Mornings with Radio Maria about Ephatha. But here we are, just 8 days away from the closing event. So I thought it'd be nice that Anya joined this credo and spoke a little bit once more. Perhaps you didn't hear Mornings with Radio Maria when Anya and Father Antonio introduced the Ephatha Revival Campaign 2024. Anya, do you just want to introduce yourself further and also talk about Ephatha? Why Ephatha? Why did you call it that? And what's the inspiration behind not only the name, but the campaign itself?
Yes, sure. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. And yes, my name is Anya Graglewska, for anyone who wants to try or attempt to say my surname, a very Polish surname. And yeah, about Ephatha, I mean, if you haven't heard of it yet, it's a 40 days Eucharistic adoration, perpetual adoration, as we're doing it from any church, anywhere in the world. But the beauty of the whole idea was that people can sign up from anywhere that they are on our website, so we know when ours are covered. But Ephatha and the whole idea of adoration, actually inspiration came from bishop who was saying the homily when I was a couple of years back in there visiting my parents. And this bishop mentioned during the homily that Poland, a lot of you know the Polish people have had beautiful faith for years and years. But what he shared really struck me, because he was explaining the example of a miracle of Vistula and how their faith made them to manage to win the war in the nutshell. But basically what was happening is the Warsaw was aware that Soviet soldiers are heading towards Poland and want to get to them in a nutshell. And Poland had 1/4 of the army. The army was much smaller than the Soviet Union. So they had no chance, even just from that point of view. And they knew that they will lose. The army itself as well was in a bad condition. So it was not just smaller, but also in a bad condition. They already been fighting. And they decided that the only person who can help them is Our Lady. So the parish priests of all the churches, especially in Warsaw, because they knew that the attack will be on the Warsaw, decided to open up all the churches for the perpetual adoration for 40 days ahead of the attack, ahead of the date that they knew that the Soviet Union will attack them. And there was also Pius XII, future Pope Pius XII, who decided to do perpetual adoration around the city, claiming the land, claiming the Warsaw for Our Lady, for the Lord. And miracle happened. That's when Our Lady decided to appear on the sky, and she came with the army of angels on the white horses, and they would not let the Russians to get to the Poles, because any bullets that the Russian people were shooting at Poles were kind of bouncing back from the massive shield that Our Lady was holding, and they were hitting them back. So the Russians just flee from the from the attack, from the scene. I know it probably sounds like a science fiction or a story that you're like, oh yeah, sure, there was a lady on the sky and all of that. But what I just described, it's actual story that is written in the museum. There are records of that, of the number of the soldiers, Russian soldiers who have written it, who were captured by the Poles as they were trying to run away from the field. And that's what they describe, and they've written it down. So it's a historic record of it. So it's not the made up story. So that's where the inspiration came, because I heard that story, and that was during the COVID time. And I had the idea that why the world is not fighting the battle the same way for the COVID, for the pandemic to stop and for the lockdowns to be lifted and to open up the churches. So the very first IFATA started with the idea that we want to open up the churches by coming to the Lord heart to heart, spending time with him, doing what the Poles did to win the battle and to start opening the churches. And that's what happened. Just a few days after we finished first IFATA, the churches in UK were open. So praise be to God. So that's the, in a nutshell, what happened with Miracle of Vistula and an inspiration for IFATA.
Yeah, can I give a shout out too with our friend Christian Carestia, who might be listening. He's in Croatia, but he also has helped with the planning and brainstorming, and then he's the brains behind the website. And so we give thanks to you as well, Christian.
The word IFATA means be opened in Aramaic, and you'll find it in the gospel in Mark chapter 7 when Jesus spoke to the deaf man and his ears were opened. So Father Antonio, Anya, do you just want to say a little bit about the intentions behind this third IFATA revival? Anya?
I hand it over to Father Antonio. He has a better story with that one.
I do? Okay. The intentions are the fruit of much prayer and thought and dialogue. So we had to tailor it to make it fit on there, but then also to make it something that's not too long. But it wasn't just something that we threw out there. It was something that was thought through and prayed over, pondered. Their particular intentions that are, and we found that all of them are related to life. And so Hearts to Be Open has always been on there. But then two of them also, my friend Patrick McChrystal, who runs Human Life International in Ireland, was inspiration for those. Because at a political global level, and in particular countries, there's less freedom and there's attacks on life and so forth, pushing euthanasia or whatever, or attacks on family. Hence the need, or even on freedom, hence the need to pray that we turn back to the Lord. And so the scripture passage from 2 Chronicles, if my people would turn back to my face and humble themselves and seek my face, then I will heal their land. I will hear their prayer. And so that's the Lord's promise for you and for me. But as a people, we need to turn back to God. Because how often we as a people, or even as a church, have turned away and or compromised with the spirit of the world and so forth. For me, one of the intentions that I put on there was the end of human trafficking. And then inspiration for that came from the movie Sound of Freedom, which is such a powerful movie. I've actually seen it 4 times, but anyway, I recommend watching it if you haven't seen it yet. And so that a confirmation for that was that we started the 40 days on February 8th, which is a feast day of Saint Josephine Paquita, who is a patron saint of victims of human trafficking. And then another friend suggested putting the end of abortion, the end of human euthanasia. And so all the intentions on there are there for a reason, and they come from different sources, not just from our planning team, whether Anya or Christian or myself. But we believe that they're important, and as mentioned, they all have a connection with life, because life itself is under attack. Hence the IFATA and then the revival, which means, as one person described it, another friend who's actually non-denominational Christian, revival is God putting his house in order. And so we pray that in the midst of whatever craziness is out there, even within myself, that the Lord is bringing his order, his tranquility, his peace, as we seek his face.
I love that. Revival is God putting his house in order. And I just want to say a big thank you to everyone who has signed up for Adoration and helped fill all those slots, because you've also been helping Father Antonio get a good night's sleep, as he has been covering all the uncovered slots. And early on in the campaign, he did have a few short nights before word spread around the world. And somebody contacted the radio to say thank you so much for letting them know about Efata, because the adoration they had been doing had helped them so much. So we're going to open the phone lines now. And if you have perhaps a testimony like that about adoration, about Efata. It doesn't have to be an adoration that you did for Efata, but any story, testimony from adoration, how adoration has made a difference in your own life, or perhaps you have a question or comment for Father Antonio or Anya this afternoon, please don't hesitate to call in. The phone number, the live studio number, is 01-223-375-564, 01-223-375-564. You can also find that number on the bottom of the homepage of our website, radiomariaengland.uk. And we're going to listen to the beautiful song Mary Mantle Me from Joseph and Rosemary Black.
Mary, mantle me in the cloak of your love. Take all of my needs straight to Jesus, straight to Jesus. Mary, cover me in the hope of your heart. Take all of my wounds straight to Jesus, straight to Jesus.
That's Mary Mantle Me from Joseph and Rosemary Black. And we just have a call coming through now. So good afternoon. You're on Radio Maria. You're on air.
Good afternoon, Elizabeth. This is Maria Rosaria calling from Cambridge. Just want to say thank you for the beautiful program. Thanks to Father Antonio. And I just wanted to share beautiful experience about adoration. I'm originally from Italy, and I don't know what Father Antonio think about song adoration. Well, really, really brought me so much joy, and it was really, really beautiful. Like in front of the sacrament, the priest would lead, the adoration with singing and praising, and I thought it was a wonderful experience, and just wanted to share with you, and it's something like really, would recommend, and it's a beautiful gift. Although, I do like to have a silent talk with Jesus, and I appreciate this, to be quiet in front of him and tell my day, my story. I also really benefited from this experience. Because Father Antonio was talking about also, the music of God, and I just thought, to share this.
Thank you, Maria Rosario. So Father Antonio, in case you didn't catch that was she attended a sung adoration and found it so helpful. Have you got anything to say about the difference between a silent adoration and an adoration where there is an accompaniment?
I think there's time for both. It reminds me of the, if I can, just this idea of a Eucharistic ultrasound. Just being an ultrasound reveals the life hidden within the womb. And when you and I spend time with Jesus, whether in silence or in praise music, we're worshiping him, and he's ultrasounding us. He's revealing to us our inner life, so to speak. He's touching us. And there's grace that's being poured out in his presence. So praise God for that.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Maria Rosario, for sharing that this afternoon. God bless.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Father Antonio. Bye.
So, Father Antonio, I think you have a word to say about Efata, the word itself, meaning be opened.
Sure. Yeah. Efata means be opened. Yes. And the story behind that is in seminary a few years ago, one of the brothers who English is his fourth language, I think, but he shouted out a prayer intention that his family would be opened to confession. And I asked him on that after, did you mean to say that they be open to confession or be opened? And he thought about it and he said opened. So there's a distinction there. One is I can be open to God to a certain extent, but in order to go deeper, it's God who opens me. So I'm opened by him. And so with Ephatha then, that in Jesus's Eucharistic presence, that he opens you and me, he opens whatever may be closed, you know. And then as Anya mentioned that when we first had it in November of 2021, it was during the lockdown. And so we were praying that God would open up all those restrictions. So that's basically where it comes from. But it's the echoing the words of Jesus from the gospel, Ephatha, be open, his words to the deaf and mute man, and he was healed. And so saying the words of Jesus in faith actually changes the spiritual atmosphere because of who he is and because of who we are in him.
And I think you mentioned this on when you came on before, but actually I had a friend who became a priest, and he is in an order in the south of France, and they go around helping churches set up adoration, 24/7 adoration. And in some city somewhere, they've had the most incredible, you know, drop in murders and crime in that city. So it really is incredibly powerful, not only as an individual experience, but the power of adoring Jesus can truly change a city and change a country and change a world, which I think was the big vision of Anya and Father Antonio when they set up Ephatha. So Father Antonio, at the beginning I said you're in Derry, that's in Northern Ireland, but next week you're going to be in England. So do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about why you're going to be in England next week?
Yeah, well, I was invited by Anya and Radio Maria to come for the closing, but I look forward to it. And so there's excitement about it. There's a number of different things that are happening at the same time, so including the spiritual adoption of fathers after 9 months. But I'll turn that over to Anya to explain, because that's also one of the things that we're going to be doing to close off that particular event in connection with Ephatha Revival and with Senecal there at the Rosary Shrine in London, which we invite everyone to attend if you're able to. And we thank the Dominican friars for hosting us. So I'll just turn it over to Anya for whatever she wants to share with us.
Yes, thank you. So on the 19th of March, it's a triple celebration, because we're not just having the end of Ephatha, we have also end of spiritual adoption of father, and all of that is together with the Feast of Saint Joseph. That's his feast on the 19th of March. And it's not coincident, because he was the patron of the both of initiative that we were starting. But all of it, there is a link as well of the whole us trying to convert. We were praying for the conversion of fathers throughout the spiritual adoption of fathers. And to be able to convert the heart, there's the change needs to happen on the heart level. And that's what also we were doing in the Ephatha Revival. We were praying for this change of heart, because we cannot, as Elizabeth said, we cannot change the world. There's just, we don't have the power. But what God can do, that's a completely different story. And when we're coming heart to heart to Jesus in the adoration, that's where the things can happen. That's where the change can happen. And those two campaigns, even though they seem very different, they were doing the same thing. They were praying for the conversion, for the revival of the heart, or revival and change of the world, or the fathers. So Festival of Life event that will happen next Tuesday, 19th of March, in the Rosary Shrine, which is where the Radio Maria as well is based. It's really going to be a beautiful celebration of Thanksgiving Mass to end the BOF initiative. There will be a Eucharistic procession similar to what the Poles did during the Miracle of Vistula. We will be celebrating and processing with Jesus in the Eucharist. And also we're going to have consecration to Joseph and Our Lady of Guadalupe, because Our Lady of Guadalupe mentor will be there as well. So that would be another part of the event. I think Father Antonio wanted to mention a little bit about Our Lady of Guadalupe, but I would just mention that the mentor is brought well, from Mexico, but through Poland, and it is done on like to on the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe there. So just to be, exactly be the replica of Our Lady of Guadalupe mantle. So it's a very special sacramental that we will be able to use on that night and receive the blessing from it. But I will pass it on to Father Antonio to explain.
Yeah, thank you, Anya. Yeah, and we actually had some friends from London processing with it during a Eucharistic procession on February 3rd. And so the image of that is Mary covering the land with her mantle, which actually connects with St. Bridget, who is one of the patrons of Ireland on February 2nd, is her feast day. And she actually was known to symbolically cover the land with her mantle. And so there's symbolism there that it's the land and ultimately it all belongs to God, right? And so that the evil spirits, they don't belong. And so we want to be with God. We want to be with life. We want to be with truth. So Mother Mary, she helped to end human sacrifice there in Mexico under the Aztecs. And she helped when 8 million people left the Catholic Church in Europe, 9 million joined the Catholic Church in Mexico. And that was because of Our Lady Guadalupe, who is an ambassador for her son, Jesus. And she's also with us during these times. We're praying for the triumph of her Immaculate Heart. I do also want to just offer a pitch for, we're going to be there in London, but for any listeners or viewers and for all the people who are participating in Europe and other parts of the world, just to encourage you to do something, find a way to celebrate Jesus in the Eucharist. Even if it's just praying a rosary and Thanksgiving in your home, if you can talk to your parish priest and see if there's something that can be done, just do something to honor Jesus. It doesn't have to be anything big. It might be too late to do something big, but particularly in your own heart. One suggestion is, as mentioned by Anya, do some kind of consecration prayer. So a consecration to the Holy Family or a consecration to St. Joseph. An enthronement of the Sacred Heart is another option as well. So that then the graces can continue forward as you go forward. And if you wish to continue with adoration, of course, you can do that. But we want to honor Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, allow him to be the King of our hearts. And then in right relationship with him, then we our other relationships change as well, including my relationship with myself. And so then we want to say yes to the Lord and what he wants to do. So it's a festival of life. It's a Eucharistic festival of life where we're honoring the source of all life, who is God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus in his Eucharistic presence. But then we also want to lift up human life and living then from a place of truth of who God is and who we are in him.
Amen. So
I forgot to mention actually the timing. So it's at 6 p.m. in case anyone who is wondering. And also we are asking everyone to bring the crosses, which will be used for the procession. We will explain later as I noticed that we're running out of time.
Oh, man. Yeah, thank you. I think we could go on discussing this for a long time. There's so much more that we had thought about sharing, but we have run out of time. So we've given out a lot of information this afternoon on top of Father Antonio's wonderful teaching on the festal shout. So the essential thing is to listen to the radio next Tuesday at 6 p.m. And if you're in London, please do try and come along to the Church of St. Dominic's near Belsize Park Tube in Northwest 5 and attend the closing mass of the Festival of Life. And there'll be the procession and consecration and the mantle of Our Lady. It's also the feast day of St. Joseph. And there'll be a tea and coffee afterwards so we can go on and discuss this next Tuesday. Father Antonio, firstly, a huge thank you to you for coming on the radio this afternoon and to you and Anya for always thinking so big. And you're certainly an inspiration to me. And thank you also to everyone who's part of the Cenacle Prayer Group for, thinking big. It's amazing. And for doing this. And Father Antonio, would you like to finish with a prayer?
Okay, I'll make it quick. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. To echo the prophetic words of the prophet Ezekiel, dry bones come to life. And for all of us who are listening or watching and adoring the Lord and the Blessed Sacrament, Lord, make us fully alive, that we may be the saints that you call us to be. shining with your fiery love within us. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This was a Radio Maria podcast. If you enjoyed it, do please click like and subscribe on your podcast provider or leave us a review. Every bit of feedback helps increase our visibility and allows us to reach more people with the message of Christ's saving truth. And if you don't already, you can listen to Radio Maria live either online or on DAB in selected regions of the UK. We'd love for you to call in live and be part of the conversation. See our website, radiomariaengland.uk, for more details and a full schedule of programmes. And do please consider making a donation so that we can keep making more programmes like this. We are completely dependent upon the generosity of our listeners.